Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Good Soil Podcast, where the Word of God meets ears, minds, and hearts, and by His grace grows a great harvest. I'm Aaron Fesenmeyer, pastor of York Evangelical Free Church, right here at the crossroads of Midwest, York, Nebraska. And I'm grateful that you tune in with me today. Hopefully you are hanging on with us as we tackle these shorter letters of our Bibles, of our New Testament. There's a lot in each of these, so I want to pause for a sec and strongly encourage and recommend to you that you come back to each of these letters at some point. There is a great benefit, that's why we're doing it, there's a great benefit for getting a whole Bible approach for by reading larger portions of Scripture each day. There is also a benefit for zeroing in on particular letters and thoughts of those letters. So please do that as well when you get the chance. But today, as we read these really good chunks of God's Word, we come to the letter to the Ephesians. Again, the majority of the epistles, the letters of our New Testament, are written by the Apostle Paul. And he wrote these letters to churches along routes and in regions where he was on a missionary journey, where he was planting churches and proclaiming the gospel and equipping people in and for gospel ministry. And some of those letters are very situation specific, like the letter we just read to the Galatians. We can still learn from and apply them, but they are very specific to very specific churches and situations. Some of the letters, however, like the Ephesian letter where we're going to read today, are more general, but they powerfully reground the church as she carries out her mission. That's why the Holy Spirit, through Paul, gives this letter. This letter is designed to reassure, to ground, and exhort the Ephesian church and others with this letter's circulation, including us, that the entirety of their lives, our lives, is in this glorious reality of Christ's person and work on our behalf. Ephesians 3 verse 10 says, "The manifold wisdom of God being made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places." And it is in Christ that the believer now finds himself or herself. And this location, this identity, identity of the believer and identity of our Lord, supersedes any other identity that we might have had. The Apostle Paul is deeply invested in the church, knowing God's plan of redemption. And he does it several ways. He wants us to know the worst news. All of us are spiritually dead apart from Jesus Christ, who is God's grace to us. But he also wants them and us to understand the benefits from his plan of redemption, where we, because of Christ's sacrifice, are raised with Christ to newness of life. And we are to live in keeping with God's good work on our behalf. As he says in chapter 2, verse 10, we, that is, those who believe in him who are saved by grace through faith, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This reality reinforces several of Christ's affections for his church, his desires for his church, rich fellowship with himself, unity among one another, a glorious witness to the world, and a stunning display of divine wisdom to the spiritual realm. Although this is a profound truth that believers are found in Christ because of Christ, it is not so mystical as to be whatever we might wish or imagine it to be. And Paul uses the term mystery in this letter, and he uses it seven times. And it always is tied with the gospel, the good news. This word, mystery, in our day, it carries a lot of baggage that it didn't in Paul's day. Where today it might mean something we don't understand and it's all cloudy and very mysterious, to use that. Paul uses the term as something that was once hidden, but now revealed, something that now can be known. And yes, we'll admit, there are still things that are beyond us, beyond our comprehension. But we are to understand, and we are given understanding by the Holy Spirit to understand what is revealed, what is now made known in the Scripture. And it's all centered around Jesus Christ and us being in Him. The way Paul presents being in Christ really forms this letter into two large sections. The first is chapters 1 through 3, where Paul presents the, you should really know this. You should really know that you are in Christ and what Christ has done. And then he switches gears a little bit in chapters 4 through 6. And as you read it, hopefully you'll see that, where Paul presents the, because of what's real, because of what I talked about in chapters 1 through 3, that you are rescued and found in Christ. Now, live the true life that Jesus Christ has given you. In this second section, and there are connecting points throughout the first few chapters, Paul eagerly desires that the church be unified. This is a major theme in the letter to the Ephesians, that the church be unified in Jesus Christ. Through Christ, as chapter 2, verse 14 says, He Himself, being our peace, has made us, and he encapsulates Jew and Gentile there, both one, fulfilling the law and its demands. And because this has actually been accomplished through Christ, the church is called to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. And he spends the remainder of the epistle highlighting life in that unity. Now, this unity doesn't mean that we agree on every issue out there. It also doesn't mean everything is covered by, and you might be familiar with this, it's not everything is covered by a Midwest nice. It means real love. In Christ, through Christ, and because of the love of God expressed to us in Christ. Paul's instruction for unity in various settings, within the church, within households, and as regards spiritual realities, is super timely for us as Christians today, where division seems to be the favored method of our spiritual enemy, often causing the church to fracture over issues that are of non-gospel in importance. And if these lesser issues, as important as they may be to discuss and debate, if these lesser issues are not couched in what Paul says in chapter 5, verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, we functionally display a lie, Christ failing to bring down the dividing wall of hostility, failing to make a single people for himself, when he has actually done the opposite. If division rather than unity is the name of the game, small wonder then that a watching world, though it is spiritually dead, might be disinterested in the body of Christ, because the people of God might be putting a stumbling block in their way. So this letter calls us to put on the armor of God for the sake of unity, because we are in Christ, together, one. God wants to use this letter in our lives to steer clear of anything that would divide being and living in Christ. This book is wonderful and full of great truth, great help, great praying, and great vision for God's church as we live on mission in Christ. There's more we could say. There's always more we could say. But let's listen to our Lord speak to us as we read. And as we start this book, let me pray for us as we receive God's word in the letter to the Ephesians. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have made your mystery known in Jesus your Son, and that we can be found in him by your grace through faith. Please guide us by your Holy Spirit to hear you and to live in unity as the bride of Christ, the church, standing firm even in the evil day, to the praise of your glorious grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Good Soil Podcast. Let me encourage you, keep reading. His voice is worth hearing. Hang in there as we read these amazing and packed letters. Until I talk with you next, may God reap a great harvest in our midst as His word grows in good soil.